Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Joining us now for the second time this week, because we just cannot get enough of him, is Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast and of Sportsnet. Elliot, appreciate you for coming on earlier this week, and always appreciate you for coming on Thursday at 1 o'clock. Elliot, I've had to come up with new questions for you. Now that we can't talk about the coach and who the next coach is going to be. Yes, yeah, I really think Barry Trotz did you a solid there. Andrew Brunette and Barry Trotz, I think that the marriage is really fun and really interesting because each have kind of been in each other's shoes. Barry's a lifelong coach. Andrew Brunette has had stints in the front office. How do you view this relationship and this coach-GM dynamic working out?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, Carolyn, I did rack my brain wondering what your first question was going to be because, you know, it's like baseball pitcher's favorite pitch, 3-2 count, World Series on the line, you know what they're throwing. So I was wondering what you'd come out with. And this was also a big week for me, Carolyn. I noticed you finally followed me on Twitter, so I feel like I'm walking on clouds.
Did I get a follow back?
Yeah, sure, no problem. I'll do it right when we're done.
Appreciate that.
When you're a first time general manager, I don't think there's anything wrong. Like all of our best friends in the world, we fight with them, but we're on their side at the end. And I think that that's the kind of relationship you have to have when you're a coach and you're a manager. Maybe you can disagree. Maybe you can say, I'm not crazy about this. But when it's over, you have to present a united front and you have to move forward together. And I think that's the kind of relationship that they're going to have. Like, I think Andrew Brunette had choices here. But I would bet that if he wasn't going to be in New Jersey and that avenue wasn't there, this is the one he wants because he's going in there with a manager he knows. He knows the person. He knows how Barry Trotz thinks, and he knows he will be supported. And I think and he knows that at the end of the day, he won't be able to cook the menu, but he'll get his opinion heard on the ingredients. And I think, you know, coaches, they'd love to be GMs and coaches, but you can't do that. But at the very least, you want input. And he's going to get input, and I think it's going to work fine. The one thing I thought Trotz, Derek, I'd be curious to hear if you thought that his explanations were good. Like, he knew what he was in for on Tuesday. He knew the questions. He knew what was going to be asked about him, and he was prepared. And, you know, I think that I was kind of interested in seeing Trotz because for a press conference like that, you better have a message. You better have something you want to communicate properly. And I thought he came out, he articulated everything he needed to be said. He didn't back down from the questions he knew he was coming, and he had a way of answering them. And, like, to me, that's a good sign. Like, that press conference on whatever day it was, I can't remember what day it is anymore, that was a good sign. That was a good sign because he was prepared for everything that came. And I think that was a good sign for the franchise.
Well, you're right, Elliot. It did change my mind on how I perceive that whole how the whole coaching search sort of manifested itself. Because, I mean, listen, he's a guy. He had a plan. And no matter what was being said on the outside, he stuck to that plan. And that plan came to fruition. And he got the guy that he wanted in the time that you know, he said he wanted to get him. End of May, beginning of June. So he sort of stuck to that plan. So I sort of backed off of that whole thing. Now the coach is here. I don't want to continue to rehash what happened and how it happened, and just hope that things work out. Now, what I am interested in your thoughts on, do you think, because I mentioned this to Caroline and Willie, do you think that Trotsky will have trouble staying within his boundaries as a GM, because he has this coaching hat that he's always going to have in his back pocket, and he even said it, not necessarily, you know, coaching the team, but he's always in that thought mode. But will he be able to stay within those boundaries that I'm sure he will set for himself?
I think he will be. You guys know Barry Trotz. I don't know him as well as you guys know him, but I've seen enough of him to know that, you know, I think he really needed a break after at the end of his last year in New York. I've talked to some players about that last season in New York, and they really liked Trotz. He did a lot of great things there. You know, you'll remember when Barry Trotz took over the Islanders, John Tavares had just left, and they thought they were going to be one of the worst teams in the East. And him and Lou Lamoriello got there, and Barry Trotz, he brought in structure. He empowered them. But that last year, and they will always be thankful for what he did for them. That last year that he was there was a really hard year. It was COVID. That area of the States had really tough restrictions, and everybody got burnt out, really burnt out. And it was a really hard year on everyone there. And, you know, Barry Trotz had last year to take off. He could have gotten any coaching job he wanted. Like, I think there were teams like the Rangers who reached out during the year and said, do you want to coach? And at the end of the day, he made this decision to be the GM of the Predators. He had options. And do I think it ever leaves your blood? No, I don't think so. And I'm sure there will be times when, like, it's February and it's game 46 and you guys are having a bad night, you'll be saying, holy smokes, I wish I was behind the bench. But I think, you know, he could have picked a lot of jobs, Derek, and he picked this one. And I think that says a lot about where he is in his life and where he thinks he's going and what he's done and what he still wants to do. And I think in the long run, he will be content doing the job he's doing.
Elliot Friedman with us. Elliot, it is really interesting. I wonder if the Rangers, if Jim Dolan will poll the Predator fans, you know, who do you think we should hire, Peter Laviolette or John Hines? It's so interesting how those two names are surfacing for such a high-profile job. But do you think John Hines has a shot there?
Well, it's tough to say because it just kind of happened. I think they will talk to him. I think Laviolette, I thought it was earlier in the week, but I think he's going back in for his second interview today or tomorrow. I heard there might be one other person getting a second interview there, which I haven't pinned down yet. But I do think they'll talk to Hines. Like, if anyone knows Hines, it's Drury. I believe at the beginning of this week, Laviolette was sort of like, if we're doing this as a horse race, Willie, I think Laviolette was the favorite. Was the horse with the inside track, and nothing yet has happened that has made me change my mind.
Okay, yet. So the fact that it's taken this long, because it looked like it was, you know, people were thinking it's almost a done deal here, and it's now lagged for a couple of days. You still think he's there?
I thought he was going in earlier in the week. I don't think he did now. I think he's going in today or tomorrow. So it hasn't changed my opinion. It's just my timeline was a little bit off, which won't be the first or last time that happens, unfortunately.
Well, another thing I know you're following very closely is the absolute circus in Toronto, and now the latest chapter, Kyle Dubas indeed takes the gig in Pittsburgh. But it was interesting, I saw the title is President of Hockey Ops, which I think is also very intriguing. I'm sure it was for you. So tell me what you see his role there. So I guess he did not want a buffer between him and ownership. Is that fair to say?
Yes. I think there were two things that Dubas really wanted here. Number one is I think he wants the GM role, maybe not the name, but he likes that role. Willie, I think he, I don't think he wants to be in boardrooms all the time. I heard that's one of the things he kind of even agreed about with Shanahan. I don't want to be meeting with the board all the time. I don't want to be doing that stuff. I want to be at the games. I want to run a hockey team. I think that's his desire. So that's one thing. But I do think he wanted more say. Like, one of the things he battled with Toronto about was he wanted at least the ability to talk to the board directly. And that was not going to happen there. That will happen with the ownership in Pittsburgh. So that's one thing. Now, the reason I think the GM title was not given is that, well, first of all, today he said he thinks that they will have trouble getting permission to talk to people at the draft or before the draft. And, you know, as we've seen, Calgary has some restrictions on Toronto's GM Tree Living now. He can't sit at the table at the draft, for example. So he's punted it into July. Now, the one thing I think about that, Willie, is that sometimes to get people from other organizations, you have to be able to promote them. Like, you know, if like teams are not going to let good people leave for what they see as lateral moves. And by leaving the GM spot open, Dubas can go after someone on another team and say, I'm going to promote them, so you let them talk to us. Hmm. And I think that's part of the whole, I think that's part of like, some people really get hung up there in titles, Willie. Like, I don't care. You can call me Sportsnet reporter. You can call me Sportsnet garbage picker-upper. Like, I don't care what my title is. I really don't. Some people really care about that.
Elliot, before we let you go, you know, you pride yourself. You find if a GM will not let Derek calls it let you behind the curtain, right? Some GMs are going to put the iron curtain down, and publicly they're just not going to tell the media a whole lot of anything. They're not going to show their hand. Barry Trotz was almost an open book yesterday. There was so much material for us just with his philosophy going forward here. He was talking about all the draft picks he had and how he wouldn't rule out packaging some to move up in the draft. He was talking about teams up against the salary cap. We could go get a guy. If that person's available, I would. He even said, would I listen to somebody trading for one of my goaltenders if they would offer me, say, the third or fourth pick in the draft? It was really interesting how he was basically, you know, throwing a lot of things out there for us to chew on here as media. Did you notice some of that?
I did. I mean, the clip that I thought was the most interesting one was the one about the draft where he said, I can find third and fourth liners, go out and take some swings. Like, I like that kind of thinking. I thought that was really interesting. I think what we learned about Barry Trotz yesterday as a manager is this. When, like, he's not going to leak a lot of stuff. He's not going to tell you a lot of things. But when he's ready in advance, but when he's ready to talk to you, when the moment comes where he's going to talk, he's going to tell you stuff. Like, when you go to a Barry Trotz press conference, you better have a lot of digital space available in your studio.
Right.
Okay? Because like, that's what we learned about him yesterday, is that when I'm ready to talk, I'll talk. And when I'm ready to talk, you're going to get stuff. So I think that's what we have to prepare for. Like, there's a book on every general manager. What's every manager like? Well, we got a page out of the Trotz book yesterday, and that's what it was.
Sportsnet garbage picker-upper, Elliot Friedman. No, I'm just kidding. Elliot, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming on.
No worries, guys. Have a great weekend.
Awesome. You too. Thanks, Elliot. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast. He is the very best. And I think that's true. I think that's what we did learn about Barry. We're going to get little breadcrumbs as the year goes on. We'll learn what Barry Trotz is like as a general manager. It's kind of what we learned with the coach situation. I'm evaluating until all of a sudden he's done evaluating and we're moving on. We're getting another coach. But let's get into your thoughts on that. The text line is loaded. We've got Preds thoughts. We've got Titans thoughts. We've got sitcom thoughts. So we are right to those coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Right to your phones coming up next. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:04 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. Awfully prompt, 6:04 p.m. The Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. 1025-1063, The Game.
Caroline.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Hey, you can join us on June 6th for the Night Before Charity Writers Round featuring Saving Able, benefiting Souls for Souls. General admission is $20, with every single ticket going to purchase a new pair of shoes for a child experiencing homelessness in Middle Tennessee. It's happening at the brand new venue, The Ballad East, next to the Gallatin Hotel in East Nashville. Doors open at 6 p.m. Get your tickets now at thegamenashville.com/golf. Unless we have some thoughts?
Let's go to the phone.
Let's get to the phones. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. One texter texts in and says, I wasn't an original Predators fan when they moved to town, but is this sort of the same dynamic between Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette that Poyle and Trotz had when they came to town? Willie, you can probably answer this a lot better than I could.
Wait, say what are they asking again?
Is the relationship, or what we think the relationship is going to be like between Trotz and Brunette, similar to the relationship that Poyle and Trotz had?
It's a good question. I think it'll be different only because Barry Trotz has that coaching DNA that David Poyle never really had. David Poyle was a front office guy from the start. He was an assistant general manager even before he became a general manager. And so, you know, he doesn't have that perspective from sitting down on the bench and watching the game. And Andrew Brunette, and this interview is coming out tomorrow, by the way. I was just told that I taped with him for NashvillePredators.com. You know, I asked him about the different perspectives, you know, being an assistant GM, being a director of, you know, player development, a scout, you know, sitting in those different chairs as well as being an assistant coach and then a head coach last year. I think that probably leads to or lends itself to a different relationship. And also, I think the one similarity might be just knowing each other so much. Like David Poyle selected Barry Trotz, who was an unknown 36-year-old coach. Like there were all these other guys. Like we talk about right now, there's several jobs open. Is Peter Laviolette going to get another job? Probably somewhere. Is John Hines going to get another job? Is Gerard Gallant? You know, guys who have done it in the league year after year. Different places. There's that musical chairs. David Poyle could have hired one of those guys in 1997, but he chose Barry Trotz, who nobody had heard of. You're like, Barry Trotz? Like, it's, you think people, I think people in the NHL circles probably didn't know much about him. People in Nashville knew absolutely zero about him. Like, I'm sure he was living in Nashville for about a year, and the neighbors were like, oh, who's this nice guy over that just moved over here? Oh, he's the coach of the hockey team? Like, what? He's the
nice
coach?
Canadian
he's
fella. A nice guy.
Yeah, who's this guy? Like, he was totally anonymous. Like, had no star power at all, but he turned out to be the right guy. So, I do think there was a lot of respect between David Poyle and Barry Trotz, and I think that same respect is there between Andrew Brunette and Barry Trotz because, you know, they know each other so well. They go back so far.
And I think, yeah, the element of being friends and having that relationship is similar, but the dynamic as coach and GM is probably a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Friends, how many of us have them?
And I think Andrew Brunette would tell you too that you know they can get an argument like you they know each other so like Barry Trotz he says Andrew Brunette says I don't think I would have become an NHL player if Barry Trotz weren't as tough on me in the minor leagues as he was right he was. I think the message was, look, do you want to be a player or do you want to be an NHL player? Right. If you want to be an NHL player, here's what you have to get. So there, those hard conversations, that probably makes it easier for them to have hard conversations that are to come inevitably, mm-hmm. right? There's going to be some hard days where they meet and it's like, boy, that game didn't go very well last night. What do we do?
Right.
You know?
Like a sibling relationship.
Yeah.
No one's meaner to you than your sibling. But also, no right. one's going to go to bat for you more than your sibling.
Exactly.
One texter texts in about D-Hop says, according to a report, DeAndre Hopkins has an interest in going back to the Texans. If that's the case, then I don't know why he wouldn't consider the Titans. I did see that. Brooks Kabina, great reporter, love the guy, covers the Texans for the Houston Chronicle, and he did report that DeAndre Hopkins has expressed interest in coming back to the Texans. I don't know what with a desire to go back to Houston is. Maybe C.J. Stroud. Maybe he likes D'Amico Ryans. Maybe he likes the up-and-comingness of Houston. But if I'm D-Hop, I'm not trying to stick around for a rebuild.
No, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he and DeNico Ryans played together for a stint there in Houston, if I'm not mistaken, toward the latter part of Ryan's career. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong on that. Or he was on that coaching staff. And that's the team that drafted him. So I'm sure there's this, you know, there's still that he still has that soft spot in his heart for Houston. It's not like he wanted to leave Houston. They traded him. O'Brien traded him, got him out there.
For a bag of donuts.
Exactly. So it's not like he was beating down the door to get out of there. At least to my knowledge, I don't think he was. So I'm sure, you know, if that question was asked of him, you know, would you be willing to potentially go back to Houston? I'm sure he said, yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, you know, that's the team that drafted me. So I can go back there because there's a relationship. You know, they drafted me. That's like, you know, if I was getting ready to retire, it was like, okay, I want to sign back with the Titans. And why? Because they drafted me. Mm-hmm. And but the Titans at that particular time, I don't know who the GM was. Reinfeldt, one of those guys. They were thinking something else. But my thought was, man, I can go back to Tennessee and, you know, finish out my career and then retire there. I was a free agent. So when you have a player, when you've been drafted by someone and the relationship has been good and you had good times there, you're toward the end of your career, yeah, part of you would love to go back there. So I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying there are a lot of other chips that has to just fall out of the way in order for that to happen.
That makes sense. Kind of the sentimental exactly. aspect there. And that's another aspect to the Titans and D-Hop potential marriage of the relationship and the history with Mike Vrabel and Tim Kelly. D-Hop played in Houston when those two were coordinators in Houston. I don't know what kind of relationship uh-huh. they have, but there's at least history there.
Yeah, there's history. But, I mean, is it enough history for him to say, okay, I come there because, you know, you were on a coaching staff mm-hmm. When I played there. So is there enough?
And how important is that to him?
Yeah.
Does he want to go somewhere where he already has a relationship with a coaching mm-hmm. staff? Like New England is another dark horse team that's been thrown out there for DeAndre Hopkins. The D-Hop Bill O'Brien connection. I don't know how great of a relationship they have.
But I think if that happens, it's more so because of Bill Belichick.
Maybe
and
so.
And his love for DeAndre Hopkins. Than anything. Mm-hmm. You know, damn what O'Brien says. If Bill wants him, you're going to get him.
What Bill says,
exactly.
Bill gets. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's have some fun coming up next, led by Derek Mason.
Woohoo!
Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063, the game, and the Game Nashville app. This week's Nashville's best deal is Central Barbecue in Hillsborough Village. Central Barbecue is a slow-cooked Memphis-style barbecue restaurant where their motto is, smoke is our sauce. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals for a half off a $30 gift card to Central Barbecue today. It is time for Would You Rather. Derek Mason is in the questions chair today. D-Mace, take
Absolutely. Away. I'm back in the questions chair again.
And we found this out, Caroline, on Ask D-Mace on Friday. This song is not only Derek's theme song for the silly underdog picks.
Uh-huh.
It's not only the walk-up song when he goes to bat in a charity softball game or if he were to make a comeback as a baseball player, but this is his theme song following him around.
Yes,
in
everywhere.
Life.
In
that
life.
Was an Ask D-Mace. D-Mace, if you were just walking around, what song is playing in the background? Like, what's your theme song of your life?
Grease Lightning.
And this is it.
Love it. I love it. You're very dedicated and loyal to the song, D-Mace.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
He also believes he could beat John Travolta in Grease with the bullet.
Exactly.
His
definitely.
First car, the old beat-up bullet, he could soup it up and he could beat John Travolta in the do-or-die drag race.
I don't know the bullet, but I would agree with that.
Yeah because,
and
I mean,
Craterface,
would have won, but he tried too many tricks. He wasn't concentrating on winning the race. He just didn't want to lose.
That's why he's the
You know,
goat.
So he should have been concentrating on winning the race, Leatherface. Craterface, excuse me, not Leatherface. Leatherface
might as well be
better.
Is another
Whatever
movie. Kind of face you got, you're not winning.
All right, here we go. Would you rather? Which one do y'all want first? You want the sports in or you want the
I'm feeling
non-sports.
Sports today. Let's go sports
right.
first
sports.
And then we'll end with the non-sports.
Okay, would you rather go one round with MMA great John Jones or go one round with Mike Tyson in his prime? Which one would you rather do?
I don't even know if I know who John Jones is.
The guy's a beast.
All I know MMA, is, yeah. I when I think MMA, I think of like my arms getting dislocated, like shoulders, my shoulders start feeling like I just feel like I'd be contorted and twisted and like stuff would be popping out of sockets and stuff. I feel like I could take a couple of big punches and just go down if I needed to.
Yeah.
And maybe I get one lucky shot in. So I think I'm going to take on Mike Tyson.
I think I'm going to do Mike Tyson too. MMA gives me the heebie-jeebies a little bit. I get a little woozy when I just think about like going shin to shin. Like, ugh. Yeah. When I was an intern at ESPN, we would have different stations that we would go to. And there was a couple of weeks span that they put me with the MMA team. Uh-huh. And I thought, I don't know what about me and my resume makes you think that MMA is really my bread and butter, but it is not. Mm-hmm. Great time, great people. Had a hard time cutting highlights of MMA.
Yeah.
Just blood just doesn't do it for me. Yeah. So I'll go with Mike Tyson, the GOAT.
Oh, man.
Maybe Mike Tyson has the Apollo Creed. He just takes me lightly. Uh-huh. You know, just like Rocky One, he's just kind of he's putting on a show. He's just, you know,
but, saying, okay, but John Jones can do that too,
and I get one good shot in.
But you're not gonna. I don't know if you're gonna get that one good shot in. I don't think you're gonna get it with John Jones either. But.
No, that's what I'm saying. But John Jones, once he decides he's coming after me, he's gonna contort me. He's gonna my limbs will be bending the wrong way, and I'm just done. I could have a career-ending injury there with Mike Tyson. I just a couple of shots, I go down. You know,
have to be a shot. It just be a whiff, and you're going down like the wind from a Tyson.
That's
punch.
Right. I could act. It could be an act. Like
it's like that scene from The Hangover. Punch. When they say, you just took a punch from Mike Tyson. Like, there's something special about
Absolutely.
That. I can carry that with me.
I didn't even consider that. Yeah. Okay, I think we're on the same page.
Yeah, Mike Tyson all day. Mike Tyson.
I may go with the Mike Tyson. Are you with Mike Tyson or John Jones? Because I think you know a little bit more about MMA.
Mike Tyson.
Hey, Mike, I didn't say that. That was Nick.
Watch out.
That was staff member Nick.
Staff member Nick. We're going to send it to Mike.
Mike Tyson. Staff member Nick.
Quick side note to that. I played with his brother, Arthur Jones, in Baltimore. That whole family, man, they are athletes. His brother, obviously, Super Bowl winner. With the New England Patriots. And I think, did Arthur win one with Baltimore? Did he leave before they won one? I don't know. But those three brothers, I mean, they're just tremendous athletes. And I've only met, obviously, Arthur. He's a tremendous person. Haven't met the other two. So, all right. Want the sports one? Or you want something else? What do you want?
Well, we just did the sports. So let's yo-yo to non-sports.
Oh, you want to go? Okay. Would you rather have a photographic memory or an IQ of 200?
Oh, well, I guess with a photographic memory, I could know anything that I want. So I guess that would almost give me a really high IQ. So I guess
it couldn't hurt.
It couldn't hurt.
Yeah, it couldn't hurt, I guess.
So I think I would go photographic memory.
Okay.
I think I would. But want
that
the
would
same.
That means you would have had to see it to know it.
That's true. Yeah, but I think I would like if I see it. Let's say if I'm studying for a test, then I'll just take a picture in my mind and I know everything.
But the IQ doesn't necessarily. I mean, with an IQ of 200, it's like it's not necessarily book stuff that I need to know. It's just I know. Everything like my IQ, I can sit and have a conversation with anybody about just about anything. Well, hell, with anything, you know,
it's a little bit more versatile.
Yeah, I would think
I would go.
My
IQ
is not 200, so you know.
How do you get? I mean, how do you?
You got to be born with that, Willie.
I'm also wondering, like, how do you get diagnosed or anointed? You have a photographic memory. Like, how do you know?
Well, some people do. Like,
I know it exists,
like,
but I'm like,
things.
Yeah, just
I think
things.
That term gets thrown out there. The person doesn't actually have, like, they may have a good memory, but like, what is truly a photographic? Like, I used to hear stuff about this guy has a photographic memory, but he's like, he got C's. in class. So like, how do you not get all A's if you have a photographic memory?
But also, I think about, like,
didn't you just like look over the notes and you should have them in your head? They should be there.
Like, you'd probably be a great football coach if you had a photographic memory, or a great football player, because you can pick up on the playbook so easily.
Yeah.
Like, I think Sean McVay, I don't know if he has a photographic memory, if he's just like a football savant, but he can recall like any play at any point in time from however long ago. I feel that's kind of along the same lines.
Yeah.
I think you could apply a photographic memory to so many different things. If you're an actor or an actress, you can just the script, you know.
But I guess,
you
save a lot of photographic time. Memory would more so of experiences. I'm thinking more so of experiences. And you know, if I go one place, I remember everything about that place. I just go one. Or if I travel somewhere and you ask me, you put me back at point A and you ask me to travel again without any maps or any, I can get to where I need to get because I know from my photographic memory how to get there. And I think we all have that to a certain extent. Like, we can go somewhere. Like, I was back in Baltimore last week, and I was traveling down this road that I hadn't been on in 10 plus years, but I knew exactly what was coming up, the things on the side. It was a little side road. I knew where my old house was, so... You know, that's sort of like a photographic memory in a sense, you know?
What would be funny is, like, would you rather have a photographic memory but a low IQ or 200 IQ and no memory at all? Like a goldfish.
I don't know.
Like,
that might come in handy.
Either one would be a problem. Yeah. We'd have a set of problems, which that's a funny one. That's good. I think I'll take the 200 IQ.
I think I'll take the 200 IQ, too.
Give me the photographic memory.
Give me the IQ. What about you, Nick? You want the IQ or the photographic memory?
I'll say photographic memory because I don't remember street names very often. Like, I remembered, okay, I used to turn by Black IP to go to high school, or I know where the Preds Arena is, and so I can go to all these different places down here, or, hey, Centennial Park is right across the street from where I play hockey. Like, I always knew that growing up. So when I learned how to drive, it made it 10 times easier for me.
Right. Yeah, I don't know street names. I just, you know, you go down this way, and then you took the other this way, then bing-bong, take a
old
left,
Old John
take a right,
always is on
there.
The corner, so I know he and his homeboys sitting right there. They're talking, so I know to make a left.
Yeah.
You know how old folks say, hey, go like 5 blocks down. You see Mary Lou's house. You make a left at that house, and then John's house has the purple door, so you make it right there. So it's just like, okay.
And if you see the yellow house, you went too far.
If you see the yellow house, you went 3 houses too far.
Let's do one more sports one.
One more sports one. Okay, this one is right up your alley, Willie. Would you rather have a wicked R.A. Dickey knuckleball or, you like this one, a Randy Johnson's fastball?
Ooh. From the left side.
Ooh, a lefty too. You a lefty, Willie.
Oh, yeah. Man. Gosh. You know, I think I've got to take it. This is a great question.
Uh-huh.
This is a great question because if you have the knuckleball, and I just saw R.A. last week. Mm-hmm. He's the pitching coach for his son's team, CPA. They lost in the finals, but he came. He had some mound visits. He was out there. I'll bet you he could still go out there and pitch 5 innings in a big league game if he's ready with the knuckleball. Like, that's the thing about the knuckleball. You could keep going. You keep going.
Sort of like a jump shooter.
Yeah. It it's so hard to perfect. But if you do perfect it, you're going to be out there for a long time. But, man, that feeling of a Randy Johnson fastball, which I never had. If I had something anywhere close to that, I think I would have made it. But it's so rare. I'd take the Randy Johnson fastball.
Okay.
As a lifelong Arizona Diamondbacks fan of about 2 months. Give me the Randy Johnson fastball.
Oh, okay. I see the suit back there. Let the suit answer this. Suit.
I know someone from Arizona.
He's saying suit. Arizona.
Yeah. I went to
Suit. You answer this. You're behind the glass. You answer that one. R.A. Dickey's knuckleball. R.A. Dickey. Would you rather have R.A. Dickey's knuckleball or Randy Johnson's fastball?
Randy Johnson's fastball all day.
Okay.
Because this is the
he killed a bird.
He did.
Rest in peace to the bird.
That is on YouTube.
Yes.
It's quite spectacular. Not in a good way for the bird.
Excellent.
But the thing about Randy Johnson's fastball is he had it for a long time. Like, he pitched until he was 40. So he didn't have the fastball for, like, 1 year and just had a great year and then fizzled, right? That was a long-lasting special fastball. That's the tiebreaker for me.
Okay. Nick, fastball?
Yeah, I would say the fastball, too. It did kill the bird, but I would always rather be fast with something like that. Like, I had a good slap shot as a kid growing up, so I would go with that, too.
We do not promote any killing of birds. So
no.
Let us say that.
Listen, it was very sad. Yeah. It wasn't
Before
Randy's
fault.
Yeah.
It wasn't Randy's fault.
Yeah,
it
was the bird. How many animals did the bird run over? the bullet run over.
I'm not going to even get into that question.
Okay, but here is the greatest bird story of all time. This was the early 80s. The Yankees
Larry
are in
Bird?
Toronto. No, not Larry Bird.
Okay.
If you've ever been to Toronto, there's seagulls flying all over the place, right? Now they play in a retractable roof, but they used to play right on the lake, and there were seagulls everywhere, the old exhibition stadium. The Yankees were there. Dave Winfield was throwing the ball in from the outfield, not while the game was going, just throwing the ball in, and he hit a seagull and killed it. Totally accidentally, right? They arrested him after the game. Yes, for cruelty to animals.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know. I still to this day don't know if it was like just kind of playing a gag on him, like, or just trying to
roast
the superstar on the Yankees, let's give him a hard time kind of thing. But, like, they booked him. They made a big deal out of it. And I think they eventually got it taken care of. You know, it's a three-game series, so the Yankees were there for a few days. But he had to go down to the police station and stuff.
Oh, Lord.
He was
that
like, I didn't mean
wild.
To do it.
That is wild.
You know, I think I will because I just think and I'm not never play baseball, so Willie, correct me on this. I just think a fastball over time it'll just kill your rotator cuff, just in your elbow, just constantly throwing it. You have to throw it,
and that
was your only pitch. You just
RA famously had a great fastball. Like he was drafted as a conventional. Like when he was at Tennessee and going up at, you know, Montgomery Bell, he was a flamethrower. He was an All-American at Tennessee, pitched for the Olympic team, and only changed to the knuckleball over time, but then he mastered it. So, but the wear and tear on the arm, obviously, that's not all you have to have. But once you master the knuckleball, there's much less wear and tear.
Yeah.
And you can
see,
just keep
going. I take the
and
knuckleball.
A lot of wear and tear on birds
knuckleball.
As well.
Yep.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. I told myself not to get my hopes up. I told myself over and over again, yet my hopes got up and my hopes got crushed. We will explain coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025, 1063, The Game.
What is your message to those fans, the media, whoever it is, that's constantly concocting a way for you to come back?
I'm certain I'm not playing again, so I've tried to make that clear, and I hate to continue to profess that because I've already told people that lots of times, but I'm looking forward to my broadcasting job at Fox next year. I'm looking forward to the opportunity ahead with the Raiders, and we're in the process of that along with the other different things that I'm a part of professionally and in my personal life, just spending as much time with my kids as I can and seeing them grow up and support the different things that they have going on. And that's a very important job. And I take them all pretty seriously.
Dang it. That was Tom Brady with Sports Illustrated.
That's no fun.
On the grid today at 12:45. Tom Brady isn't coming back, is he? There's no way, right? Like, there's no way he's quarterbacking for the Raiders this season. Wait, there's no way. Or is he actually? I was trying to taper my excitement in the hope that I had that maybe Tom Brady could come back.
Just maybe?
Maybe, just maybe he could come back. And then I see that clip on Twitter and it said, down with Sports Illustrated, kind of poo-pooed that idea. I knew he wasn't going to come back. I knew it. I knew he wasn't going to unretire twice. I knew that under all the circumstances with, you know, his personal life and how he felt and looked at the end of last season, I knew there was no way he was coming back. And then a headline on CBS Sports said Tom Brady tops the list of Raiders quarterback options if Jimmy Garoppolo gets cut due to his foot injury. And I thought, so you're saying there's a chance?
Well, what Tom is saying, no, there's not a chance. Listen.
Bummer.
Tom was forced to retire 2 years ago. Everybody knew it. If you didn't know it, I mean, you could just see it in his face. It was almost like pushed upon him, thrust upon him. People wanted him to retire. And he just folded under the pressure of, and listen, it was, it was the pressure of his family, more than likely. And you get it, you know. Your family wants you there more, and they're pleading for you to hang it up. You've had a career that many can't even dream of. You've had it. Why keep going? Mm-hmm. And to me, when he retired the first time, I said he was forced in. That was a forced retirement. He's coming back. He came back. This one wasn't a forced retirement.
This was on his own.
Yeah, this one was like, okay, I had a great season statistically. I got our team into the playoffs, which that division was horrible the year they made it to the playoffs.
Horrible.
It was horrid.
Still is horrible.
Yeah, still is bad.
Yeah, like somebody's going to win it.
So bad.
But I think he was, I'm not going to say satisfied, but listen, he did all he could do. And it's like, okay, now I came back that season. I played it out. I left on a statistical high note. Mm-hmm. Yes, I didn't win a Super Bowl, but not many people get an opportunity to be Jerome Bettis. You win a Super Bowl, your year you retire in the state that you were born, in the city that you were born and went to high school in, Detroit. Big ups to Detroit. What up, though? But this wasn't forced. It was just, I'm retiring. I'm done. I've did all I could. I'm done. So I don't think he's coming back. I mean, he enjoys what he's doing now, and he's about to be, you know, have a stake in Vegas Raiders. And he just said, he's mentioned other things that he's doing, and he gets to spend more time with his kids.
I had a question about, you know, having a stake in the Raiders and being the Fox lead announcer. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a little bit of a conflict of interest? Like, it's not like you have guys in the booth that work for a team. Mm-hmm. I mean, technically, he's working for a team. Like, can he not do Raiders games? Like,
they
insider
probably,
information. I mean, there's just a lot of questions I would have with
that. I don't
know
if they would have him doing Raider games. I don't think the Raiders are good enough for you to even want to do any of their games. I mean, honestly.
I mean, Fox doesn't have as many AFC games.
Right.
But, I mean, it could happen.
I'm sure, but unless the Raiders start off 7-0, something like that, how many prime time? Because he's going to be on the first crew, you know, not this upcoming season, but next season, right? He's going to be on the first crew. But how many chances or how many opportunities the Vegas Raiders are going to get to be, you know, that marquee team with that first?
And
guys.
It may not be the first year, but I'm thinking if he does it long enough,
yeah,
right, and he stays involved, eventually.
Well, I guess that's sort of kind of.
So I'm just wondering, is the league all right with that? Like, it just because Tom Brady, he can do pretty much whatever he wants. I mean, it just to me, that's sort of. I can't think of another situation where a guy who had a stake in a team was the broadcaster. I mean, from a pure journalistic standpoint,
Peyton Manning doesn't have stake in the Broncos, does he?
I don't know.
Or did they reach out to him about potentially having ownership stake? I don't think that he does, but that would be the only other potential, you know, conflict of interest that I could think of a broadcaster. I know Peyton Manning wouldn't have the involvement in calling games that Tom Brady has, but, I mean, he has his media group. He's worked with ESPN.
But he wouldn't be a part of the day-to-day or decision, from what I understand.
But I don't think he is
would have any. Yeah, he wouldn't have no ties to decision making or what they're doing in the front office. You know, so would it be a conflict of interest? I mean, I don't know. It could be. I don't know.
Well, I read an article this morning that talked about before my dreams and hopes were crushed by Tom Brady saying he wasn't coming back. And I'm not even like a Tom Brady fangirl. I just like the drama of it all.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Tom Brady coming back for the third time? But
you should have been around when Muhammad Ali was coming back. Remember Muhammad? How many times
Reggie
did he
White
come back?
Did it three times? Two or three times?
The golden ages.
Yeah.
And with Brett Favre. But I read an article that said if Tom Brady did want to come back and play for the Raiders, then it wouldn't be a conflict of interest for him to play for the Raiders and have ownership in
the
Raiders.
Well, the owners.
But that would be kind of different.
The other owners would have to sign off on it.
Yes.
If they didn't sign off on it, then he would have to sort of sell away his stock or stake in the Raiders until he's done playing. But all of the owners would have to sign off on it, and as we know, nobody really likes the Vegas Raiders or the Oakland Raiders, so they probably wouldn't sign off on it. you know?
That's true. That's true. That's just a bummer.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to miss those days when Tom Brady was playing. I think we all will. That is going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
Be love and love of somebody. Peace.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.